The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hope we're all nice and warm and ready to go this morning. I've got some things that God's laid on my heart that I'm really excited about sharing this morning. And if you've just joined us, maybe today's your first Sunday, we've setting aside just 4 weeks. We've already had one. Just to go back and unpack some of our God-directed themes for 2016. And I'm wondering whether you remember what the three major ones. Last week we spent some time on generosity. This week we're going to spend some time on... Now, the picture on the screen behind me is a little bit of a hint on the three God-directed themes for this year. Why don't you just quickly talk and try and remember, okay, that one's that one. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to see how good your memory is. So why don't you just quickly share what you think our three God-directed themes are this year. Use the picture as a hint. Okay. Our Lady that is on this side. Anyone know what that represents? Pursuing one. Beautiful. Remember we gave out zeros? Okay, that's a reminder for us to pray every single day and to remind us that God's heart is that none should perish. I'm going to pray about that in a moment. The middle picture of the water, going deeper spiritual relationships. We're going to be pursuing deeper spiritual relationships. And then the one on the right, picture of the sky, bit of cloud, pursuing the Spirit. Well done. And that is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about pursuing the Spirit. And before we start, I'd love us to pray, because I think that's always a great place to start. So let's pray. Lord God, it is an absolute privilege to be able to come here and to be a part of this fellowship, to be in your house this morning. And God, I never want to take that for granted. And Lord, you know our hearts. You know exactly where we are this morning on our spiritual journey, in our relationship with you. You know our challenges. You know our sin. And God, you know I'm one of the worst. And you know exactly all the things that we've been a part of this week that haven't been of you. Lord, you know our lack of faith. But you know what, God? We are here today because we need you. We need you. We need you and we want more of you. We want you to pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, encourage us, fill us, lead us as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning. Bring revelation, bring fresh bread, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, also want to pray about pursuing one. I want to pray... Thank you for our zeros, God. And they remind us that your heart is that none should perish. And God, it's my prayer that that would motivate us. That would motivate us to be attentive to your Spirit each and every day. To be attentive to your Spirit as we finish this service and as we have a cuppa together, as we move out into the rest of the week. May we be attentive to your Spirit, God, because we desire that you would use us to lead someone to you this year. We're praying that in faith. And God, we know we can't make that happen, but God, help us to be attentive to this, to your Spirit's moving. And we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, pursuing the Spirit. This year, 2006, we are... 2016, I missed the one there. We are pursuing... I lost 10 years, just like that. So we're pursuing the Spirit this year. And you might be thinking, well, why is this a bit of a God-directed theme? Well, as a leadership, we believe that this is something that God is really wanting us to chase after. Now, I want to explain a couple of things, a little bit of the reason why. And the first reason is this: for as long as I can remember, we have been hovering around this kind of 500 mark as a church. For as long as I can remember, I've been a part of this fellowship for 25 years, got saved here as a 15-year-old. and it grew sort of in those early years to about 500, and then it's plateaued. And, you know, it sort of oscillates between 450 when there's a HBF fun run, all the way up to about, you know, 600, 650, and but 500 is kind of our average. Now, I don't want you to be thinking, oh, gee, this guy's just all about the numbers. It's not about numbers. You might have a little bit of a suspicion that pastors, you know, they're just all about backsides on seats, and they're all about backsides on seats because they just want a big church and they want to look good in front of all. Well, I'm here today that I don't give a rip about that. But the reality is that healthy things grow, right? Healthy things grow. And the reality is that every single number represents a person. That's us. That number is the people that aren't here yet. It's about people. And this plateau, this 500, is super interesting for me, and it makes me ask a lot of why questions. Why? I get, God must just think, man, you're a bit of a whinger, you know, why? I'm always, why? Well, let me share some of my whys. Why can't we bust through this ceiling of 500? What is it? Why can't we do that? Why don't we see the Spirit move like we know He can and believe He can? Why is it that when we do stuff, it feels a little bit ineffective? It feels like a lot of hard work. It lacks power and it lacks authority. Why aren't we seeing this place filled with new disciples? Why haven't we seen revival here at Life Streams? And you know what, church? It's not just us. The reality is the church in Australia seems to be very infertile at the moment. My other question is, why are we constantly hearing that God is moving powerfully and in amazing ways right through the developing world? Am I the only one hearing those things? China, places like China. It just seems like God is just pouring out His Spirit. People are coming to faith. There's revival. It is amazing. Lots of whys. Please don't get me wrong. Please don't hear me wrong this morning. I don't want you to leave this morning and go, wow, we just got beat around the head with a big stick. I hope that this is a challenge. I hope that this encourages you this morning to pursue the Spirit like we never have before. Now, we want to pursue the Spirit because for many years we've sensed that we are a very competent church. The reality is that there are a lot of degree trained people in our church. We're competent, we're smart, and it's not hard for us to come up with a good idea. It's not hard for us to see a problem and go, okay, we can put a strategy together and we can get a plan and we can go after that issue. It's not hard for us to do that. In a prayer meeting late last year, as we were praying for 2016, we heard God very clearly say that He was sick of our good ideas. Sick of our good ideas. And you know, being a part of this place for 25 years, this might sound really arrogant, and I hope it doesn't, but it does feel like we've given everything a shot, and we're not seeing what we want to see. There's a lot of great things happening. There's a lot of great stuff happening in our church, and I need you to hear that as well. Last week, I was talking to a man that you might know, Sam Bell. Sam Bell is one of our young, he's a young man who grew up in this place. And he, a couple of years back, heard the call of God with his wife, Sharon, and his children. And they took a step of faith and they moved into our daughter church, Life Streams Carawarra, which I was thrilled with. There, Sam helps facilitate ministry to the children. And he's also now one of the servant leaders on the team supporting Darren and Mel. Anyway, I'm with Sam. Sam's still very much got his heart. You know, he's obviously his heart's at Carawarra, but he's still very much connected to us and loves us. And we were having a conversation. We were having a conversation about pursuing the Spirit and how we long for God to bless this place, for God to pour out His Spirit on our churches. It was a great conversation. Anyway, Next day, I'm preparing for last week's message, and I hear my phone vibrating, and I see that it's Sam Bell. And I thought, well, I don't usually answer the phone while I'm preparing, but I thought, oh, I'm going to take this one. And Sam hops on the phone, and he goes, mate, you know about our conversation that we had yesterday? Well, I struggled to sleep, and all this morning I've just been praying about what we talked about, this pursuing the Spirit. And he goes, I need to give you a call. I just needed to give you a call. I need to share with you what I believe God has placed on my heart, because I believe it's a word for Lifestream South Perth. And he was super apprehensive. He goes, you know, this is something, you know, I'm still really learning to move in, you know, moving with the Spirit, listen to His voice. And I feel like this might not come out right, but I just feel like I need to be obedient. And so with that, he said this. He said, as I've been praying for Lifestream South Perth, I've been burdened by the things that are holding back a pouring out or a move of the Spirit there. Blockages have been on my heart. Things like fear, a reluctance to move in this area, especially in the past. And because of that, and because of those things, he sensed that the Spirit was grieved. And then I immediately thought about all the things that I just shared, our ideas, our own strength, our own wisdom. And then I remembered a number of years ago, we would drop any reference to the Spirit in choruses and in worship songs. And you might be thinking, well, what's with that? Well, I very distinctly remember singing a song here. It was a song called Father, We Adore You. And we'd start singing by Father, We Adore You. And there's other lines to it. Then we'd sing Jesus, We Adore You. And then guess what the next chorus was about? The Spirit, We Adore You. But for whatever reason, we felt it necessary to drop that chorus, that verse out. So that came straight to mind. And I thought, oh my goodness. You know, we didn't talk much about the Spirit. We were suspicious of any move of the Spirit. And sometimes we suppressed the Spirit or ignored Him. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, I don't want us to be a church that grieves the Spirit. Who wants to be a church that grieves the Spirit? I don't want us to be. I want us to be a church where the Spirit is welcome. And we've been singing that. God's got us on an amazing journey. I want us to be a church that's blessed, where we're experiencing more of God's presence, where we're hearing His voice, where we feel His love, know His favor. And we don't want that just for us, do we? We want it for the people outside of those doors in our community. We want it for our friends who don't know Jesus. We want it for our family who aren't walking with Him, don't we? And guess what? God wants that too. It's exactly what God wants too. So how do we access that? How do we pursue the Spirit? Well, I believe that Joel 2 may give us some insight. So I encourage you to turn to Joel 2 if you've got your Bibles with us. And immediately when you jump down to verse 28 and you start looking at those verses, you might think, wow, they're familiar. I recognize them from someone else. Well, from somewhere else. And the reality is, it's the passage that the Apostle Peter refers to when he's preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Peter says to his hearers in Acts that the outpouring of the Spirit that they were experiencing in that moment was the outpouring of the Spirit foretold by the prophet Joel in Joel 2. Let's read Joel 2, verse 28. It says there, and afterward. Now, I want you just to file that word away, afterward, because I'm going to come back to that in a moment, because it's important. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heaven and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon or calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. How cool is that? So what will an outpouring of the Spirit look like? Well, first thing that I want to say to us this morning is that it will look like whatever God wants it to look like. I think for too long in our heads, we've kind of looked back into our past and we've seen an outpouring of the Spirit and all sorts of things are going on and we think, whoa, gee, that's a bit out there. An outpouring of the Spirit will look whatever God wants it to look like. But I believe these scriptures give us some insight into some of the things that it'll look like. So let's have a quick look. The first thing is, it'll be a direct experience of God. When the Spirit is poured out, we will experience God. We will hear God's voice through dreams, through visions, through prophecy. And guess what? It'll be for everyone. It'll be for all God's people, not just the priests and not just the prophets. I was sitting here during the week thinking, I wonder whether Joel knows that he's kind of putting himself out of a job. Prophesying this. It's for everyone. All believers, men, women, children. Every one of us will have direct access and we'll be able to interact with God. We'll be able to hear God for ourselves and He will directly speak to us. I mean, how awesome is that? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, speaking to me. There'll be signs and there'll be wonders. Whatever God wants that to look like. And the really cool thing is this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There'll be revival. Who wants that? It's exciting. I wonder when was the last time you prayed for revival? I was in the US some years ago and one of the pastors, he just very gently but in a real strong way was like, are you praying for revival? And I just had, in that moment, just felt convicted because I couldn't remember the last time I'd prayed for revival. When was the last time you prayed? Well, church, the promise here is that this will happen when? When's this going to happen? In the last days. In the last days. And guess what? We are in the last days. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know, we're in the last days. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, this is a bit full on in the last days. Well, the reality is we spent 31 weeks in the story. And the story tells us that the last days are between Jesus' resurrection and Jesus' return. And church, we are living in that dash. Okay? That dash that is between Christ's resurrection and His return. We are living in the last days. So why aren't we seeing revival here at LifeStreams? Why aren't we seeing revival and an outpouring of the Spirit right through our nation? Well, it's interesting that if you kind of dig a little bit deeper on this sort of on this chapter and you read it in its entirety, you'll read that there is a fair bit of doom and gloom around God's people at the time. And the reality is that's why God kind of rose up the prophets to try and say, hey guys, reality check. It's time to get focused on God again. And there was all this calamity and all sorts of things. People had wandered from God. They were reaping what they were sowing. They were in economic crisis. And they were also in a time of famine. And I thought about that and I thought, that's not too dissimilar to where our nation is at. Doing our own thing, reaping what we sow, economic crisis. Maybe not the famine bit, because we've got plenty of food, but I'm sure that we are in famine in a whole heap of other areas, spiritual famine. So how? How do we pursue this promise of blessing? How do we pursue the Spirit? Well, remember earlier I said, notice in verse 28, that word afterwards. When you see the word afterwards, that usually means that there's something before. So let's have a look at verse 12. And I want to read that out. Verse 12. It says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God." The first thing that God asks his people to do is to rend their hearts. Rend their hearts. It's interesting. I'm pretty sure that this is the only place in Scripture where those three words are used. Rend your heart. What the heck does rend your heart mean? Well, obviously, God wants them to do some serious spiritual activities. You know, we read there, things like fasting, weeping, mourning. Some serious, hardcore repenting is on the menu for God's people. But he also commands them to rend their hearts, not their garments. What's with the garments bit? Well, in the Old Testament, when the people were repenting, they would literally tear their garments as a sign of sorrow and remorse for their sin. They would tear them. And I'm not going to do that because it'll scare you. It'll be like just this shining light of white. But they would tear their garments because they were just so sorry for their sin. It was very, very demonstrative, right? Man, if you saw that going on, you'd be like, whoa. And the prophet Joel is saying here that ritual repentance is of no value. However fervently, however demonstratively carried out, it is of no use unless the heart is changed. God is saying, I don't care. I don't care about outward appearances. And we read about that in other times in the Scriptures. I don't care about outward appearances, ripped clothes. I'm a God who looks at the heart. And I want your heart to be ripped. I want it to be torn. I want it to be broken. And I want it to be changed. I want you to tear yourself away from the things of this world that you have attached your heart to. What have you attached your heart to? What have you attached your heart to that is not of God? If we want more of God and we want to experience what Joel is describing here in chapter 2 of Joel, we need to tear our hearts away from those things. Those things that are not of God. What are they? It's worth in these few still moments just to ask the Spirit, what are those things? What have I attached my heart to? And He will speak to you. He will reveal those things to you. It's not going to be easy, church. This is going to be hard. This tearing your heart away from those things will be painful. It will require a step of faith. It'll mean that we might need to get on our faces and repent. It'll be tough. But can I encourage you that God is gracious, as we just read. He is compassionate. He is slow to anger. And guess what? He abounds in love. And I so want you to be motivated out of that. Not because some white bloke is up the front telling you this is what you got to do. This is a God thing. This is a Spirit-led thing. We need to rend our hearts. How do we rend our hearts? Well, verse 15 goes on. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the servant leaders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber." You know, in our church for so many years, we used to say to people who got married, oh, you know, you guys are now married. You don't need to serve in the church anymore. You just focus on each other for a year and you be released. Well, this wasn't happening here. He's like, bridegroom, get out. Bridegroom, bride, get out of your chamber. It's time for us to go to the sacred assembly. It's time for us to fast. Then it goes in verse 17, let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Joel calls the people to a sacred assembly. Joel calls the people to a holy fast. Rob Reamer, many of you have begun to read River Dwellers by Rob Reamer. If you haven't read River Dwellers yet, I encourage you to get on it, have a read. It's fantastic. It's really encouraging us to continue to pursue the Spirit. But in his first book, I believe this is his first book, Pathways to the King, Living a Life of Spiritual Renewal and Power, he says this. He says, Joel is calling us to rend our hearts, to get right with God, to tear ourselves away from competing lovers. I don't know about you, that's pretty powerful, hey? Competing lovers and restore Jesus as the first love of our lives. What a challenge. What a word for us as a church. Now tonight, church, we have called a sacred assembly. Tonight, we're going to come together. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. We're going to repent. We're going to rend our hearts because we no longer want to grieve the Spirit in this place. We no longer want to grieve the Spirit in our lives. We want to welcome the Spirit and we want to experience more of God, more of His presence, and more of the blessing that is described in these verses. So what do we need to do to get ready? What are we going to do to get ready? Well, I know that not everyone will make tonight. That's just a reality. I'd love to think that we would all come and be a part of this sacred assembly tonight. So, even if you're not going to come, there's some things that I would love to encourage you to do. As together we prepare to rend our hearts as a church. Let's do this together. So, what do? We prepare ourselves by asking the Lord to show us the roadblocks. What's in the way? What might there be in our lives that we have attached our hearts to that's not of God? In Psalm 139, it says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. The psalmist here is specifically asking God to show, to reveal his heart. Are there any offensive ways in me? Is there anything sinful in me that I have not declared? Are there any anxious thoughts? Is there fear? Is there any fear that's holding me back from pursuing the Spirit like I've never pursued the Spirit before? You know, church, fear has a really bad habit of getting in the way. Fear has a really bad habit of keeping us away from God. Will you join with me as we ask God to reveal any of those things, any of those fears that might be keeping us back from giving fully ourselves to God? We need to wait. We need to listen. And I believe that as we do that, He will shine light on those fears. Maybe in the past you stole something. Repent and make restitution. Give it back if you can. Maybe some of you are carrying bitterness. Oh, it's not good. Bitterness in your heart. It's time for you to give. It's time for you to get free of bitterness. Maybe you have an addiction that you just keep quiet. It's kind of in the dark part, in the shadows of your life. It's time to bring it out in the open. Bring it out in the light. Maybe you've told untruths. Maybe you've told lies. It's time, church, to tell the truth. if there are any blocks, if there are any heart attachments, it's time for us to rend our hearts. In Rob's book, page 74, I just want to read this out really quickly. He says this, he says, the word rend is a significant one. It involves radical action. This isn't a matter of simply confessing your sin and keeping on the same way you've always gone. Too often we get stuck in a pattern in our lives. Sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. We get stuck in a cycle. That isn't rending our hearts. Rending is radical action. Rend, tear, break. Take some radical, symbolical steps. Let the Holy Spirit shine light on any blocks. But then it may be helpful for you to take some symbolic action. And maybe tonight, if you're thinking, you know what, I've got to get here tonight. This might be something that you want to do between now and tonight. You might want to think, I'm going to bring something. And Rob describes a time at his sacred assembly. He says, at our sacred assembly, we had people bring something symbolic to show a rending of their hearts. Some people brought in stolen goods and laid them on the altar. Rend your heart. Some people brought in razor blades because they had been secretly cutting themselves. Rend your heart. Many people in the congregation wrote letters to God. Take a radical step of changing your actions. Remove barriers and prepare yourself for the outpouring of the Spirit. It's encouraging, isn't it? Let's land this message just with a couple of closing thoughts. If we want what Joel is describing in this chapter, if we want to see God pouring out His blessings, if we want to see an outpouring of His Spirit, if we want to see revival, we have to pursue the Spirit like we never have before. Matt, if you could chuck up that next slide for me, mate. There's a quote there. It says this, the truth is that your next level of relationship with God is outside of your current reality. Do you know what I mean by that? The next level of relationship with Him is outside of where you are currently right now. You need to take a step of faith. We need to move. And it has to start here, and it has to start now. It has to start with you by saying, God, I am here. And really, that's all we can do. It starts here. And I want to take just a very quick couple of moments, because you might be sitting there and you think, you know, I've done that heaps of times before. You know, I've made space. I've stood before God and I've gone, you know what? I am here. And you know what? He hasn't shown up. And we get offended by that. And I want to just encourage you, don't get offended by that. We so often go to those spaces with kind of an agenda. Oh, well, this is how God's going to show up. I need this, I need this, I need this. Remember earlier, I said that when an outpouring of the Spirit comes, it's going to look like whatever He wants it to look like. So let's not prescribe this. But, and if you have done this, you stand before God, He still feels a million miles away, don't get offended. Just keep going back. Keep going back. Keep pursuing. Keep trusting. Keep asking. Keep going back. Be stubborn about it. The next thing is we have to rend our hearts. We have to tear ourselves away from those things that we have attached ourselves to that are not of God. The other lovers in our lives that we run to when God seems so distant. We have to repent of the blockages, the fears. We have to repent as a church for grieving the Spirit. We have to welcome the Spirit. We have to welcome the Spirit in our hearts and here at Life Streams. Are you going to come with me? Are you going to come with me? We're in this together. Let's pursue the Spirit like we never have before. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our hearts. Can we stand, church? as we close this morning, we're going to worship together. We're going to sing that song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome. And I just want you to make this your prayer this morning. If you feel led, if there's some stuff that the Spirit has been saying, if there's some things that you need to bring to the altar, can I encourage you to get physical? Come out of your seats. Lay it before Him this morning. We'll stand with you. There's nothing magic about the front, but I think there's something really special when we do an act, a courageous act like moving from our seats, because we're declaring, you know what, God, You can, I can't. Church, it's time. Let's pursue the Spirit like we never have before. Let's rend our hearts.